Content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Hugh Bennett from North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties. With its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. Our cover story this week, does WakeMed need to be rescued? CEO Donald Gensig wants to merge with Atrium Health, insisting WakeMed must be proactive as healthcare evolves. Before the cover story, though, we'll go to Biz and then the reporter pages. The Biz section is written by managing editor Dane Huffman. Young crowds bring fresh energy. One lasting legacy of the Canes' Cup run is how they engaged young fans. When the Entertainment and Sports Arena opened in 1999, the seats were red, and for a reason. Red seats, of course, stand out less when the arena is empty. Jeff Merritt, the executive director of the Centennial Authority, remembers a bleak season when a Carolina Hurricanes leader told him, "I hate red seats." But an empty arena is no longer the case as the Canes stuffed the Lenovo Center with fans, even for road games on the way to winning the Stanley Cup. The atmosphere for those watch parties was significant. Many noticed the young vibe for the watch parties as teenagers and people in their 20s flocked to the Lenovo Center. During Game 3, one boy, about 12, was there with his family and was leading the fans in cheers. College-age students tailgated before Game 3 as well. And in Game 5, a young crowd in one section included a 22-year-old firefighter who grew up playing hockey. Merritt also noted that the demographic for the Lenovo Center watch parties skewed young, which was kind of nice. And it wasn't just the Lenovo Center. Canes fans were pouring into the players' retreat for the games. June 14th, Smoky Hollow, the Red Hat Amphitheater, and more were packed with fans, many of them young. "That's what tells me this market has arrived," Merritt said. "Any sport has to capture the imagination of fans and then hold it. The Canes have always had young fans, of course, but after four straight seasons of packed houses, they found a way to reach new fans in new ways. And those young fans bring an energy all its own, which only bodes well for the future. Now the red seats are red shirts," Merritt said. And in related news, hey, look there, that must be the Stanley Cup. The Stanley Cup is the centerpiece of a downtown Raleigh parade on June 20th. Which is today, when the Carolina Hurricanes are celebrated by the city. But the Cup has been making appearances around the city as well. The Canes celebrated with fans and the Cup on June 15th in Glenwood South. WRAL reported that the line to get into Teats Bar, owned by former Cane Bates Battaglia, was two blocks long. Inside the bar, some fans even got to drink from the Cup. And on June 16th, the Canes had lunch at Vivace in North Hills, and hundreds soon showed up to jump in and take photos. So keep your eyes open, right? No telling when the Cup might appear next. Simulations Plus, acquired by New York's Alteris. A New York investment firm is acquiring a public company based in Research Triangle Park for about $375 million. Alteris plans to acquire Simulations Plus in an all-cash transaction expected to close in the fourth quarter. The deal follows Simulations moving its headquarters from Southern California to RTP last year. The company provides modeling and simulation software, along with consulting services to support drug development for biopharmaceutical companies. WGU adds more space in Raleigh. An online university that is seeing growth in North Carolina is adding significant space in Raleigh. Western Governors University is opening a 48,000-square-foot office in Glen Lake Office Park in Raleigh. The opening ceremony is scheduled for June 23rd. It's the largest WGU facility outside of the headquarters in Salt Lake City and will eventually be home to up to 300 employees. The space will allow for a wide variety of staff functions, including regional operations. WGU has nearly 11,000 graduates in the state and has been steadily growing its operations here. And finally in biz, RDU snags land to prepare for new runway. The Raleigh-Durham International Airport has acquired a small parcel near Lumley Road for nearly $3.8 million in a deal that serves as the final piece of a plan to relocate the road and make way for a new $1.1 billion runway. The Morrisville property at 6833 Mount Hermon Road was owned by LLEG Properties, LLC, according to deed records. An airport spokesperson confirmed that 0.7-acre purchase is the final property acquisition tied to the Lumley Road relocation project, with construction expected to begin in earnest later this summer. The Raleigh-Durham Airport Authority in May approved a nearly $50 million contract for the Lumley Road relocation, with Balfour Beatty as the contractor. The first of the reporter pages this week is Technology and Aviation, which is written and compiled by Lauren Unasorge. Her main story in this section, Reliant on track to hit 180 job goal in Raleigh. A year after announcing plans to create 180 jobs at a new headquarters in Raleigh, Reliant is on track to meet that goal and is even evaluating additional expansion in North Carolina. In an interview, CEO Tammy Newcomb talked about how the firm's move to Raleigh is paying off, what could come next, and her first season as a Carolina Hurricanes fan. It was quiet June 15th at Reliant's fourth floor office at Center at North Hill Street. Mondays are usually slow under the company's hybrid work policy, but the day after the Canes won the Stanley Cup was particularly subdued. Newcomb admits she's still learning hockey. Newcomb, who moved to Raleigh with Reliant, grew up watching the occasional hockey game in upstate New York, but there's something electric about the Canes, said Newcomb. It's fun, she said. It's fun to see the town come together. And it's her town now. Reliant spun out of Fortive Group a year ago. More than 100 people regularly work at its new North Hills headquarters. We're constantly hiring, she said. Altogether, about 150 employees are assigned to Raleigh. Average salaries for the new jobs range between $170,500 and just under $190,000, according to Reliant. The growth is coming quickly, driven by trends working in its favor, including AI-fueled electrification and defense. Reliant's sensors sit in the electric grid, alerting utilities to problems with transformers. Its technology helps engineers build the complex machinery inside data centers. Defense technologies are also seeing a boost. Reliant recently landed a $27.3 million government subsidy to help build out manufacturing capacity for its defense technologies. In addition to a facility in Ohio, it is evaluating options for another location. We certainly have explored every place we have a footprint, Newcomb said. That includes the 300-person unit in Elizabethtown. It could also include a new facility altogether. Newcomb said no decision has been made, but North Carolina is on the list. Airport to build hangars for defense firms. An airport near Pinehurst is planning to build a pair of corporate hangars at a cost of up to $5.5 million. The hangars will be leased to a pair of defense contractors, Titan Echelon and AVA Technologies. A proposal approved by the Moore County Board of Commissioners in May involves a plan to obtain $5 million in financing through Truist Bank for the hangars, with the rest to be paid for through existing airport funds. But it required local approval by the North Carolina Local Government Commission, which greenlit the project's financing plan this week. Rick Cloutier, CEO of the Moore County Airport, said demand continues to outpace supply for hangar space, consistent with what airport directors across the region have told TBJ. In Pinehurst, it's just part of the plan. Cloutier's team has been pushing for commercial service for years. He said that conversations with potential airline partners continue. The new corporate hangars and adjacent hangar infrastructure is expected to be complete in mid-2027. Moore County Airport will soon have 74 hangars. Cloutier said the plan is to construct a taxiway and infrastructure to serve both the new hangars and more in the future. Ubisoft lays off more workers who are based in Cary. 3 months after the Triangle's oldest video game company announced 100 layoffs in Cary, additional cuts are happening. Red Storm Entertainment notified the state of 100 layoffs in March, an action tied to its parent company, Ubisoft, ceasing development activities at the local game studio. Recently, the company sent regulators a notice about another 93 layoffs. The vast majority are in San Francisco, but 17 work at Cary's Weston Parkway campus, according to the notice, which was signed by Alan Corey, vice president of Ubisoft. The affected employees are being laid off due to the cessation of their assigned project or product, the notice says. Ubisoft did not return a request to comment. While the layoff notice in March was filed by Red Storm Entertainment, the latest notification originated from Ubisoft. In March, a source familiar with the situation told TBJ that about 70 Ubisoft employees would remain after the layoffs. Red Storm has a long history in the Triangle, founded in 1996 by a group that included author Tom Clancy. As for Ubisoft, the latest layoffs go into effect August 10th, according to the notice. Reporter Zach Ezzone brings us the news from the healthcare and life sciences world. His main story this week, Atrium joins fight for a new Wilmington hospital. Fast-growing Wilmington needs more beds and competition is intense. UNC Health is facing more competition in its push to expand along the North Carolina coast. Atrium Health said June 15th that it is seeking state approval to develop a new hospital in the Wilmington area. This follows UNC and Novant Health, the dominant health system in the region, previously confirming plans to seek approval for their own projects in New Hanover County. The competing applications are in response to the 2026 State Medical Facilities Plan, which identifies a need for an additional 225 acute care beds in New Hanover County. The deadline for providers to file Certificate of Need applications to develop the beds was June 15th. A Certificate of Need is a state license required for certain medical services and facilities. Details for the respective projects are so far limited. UNC previously said it is seeking to build a hospital on a 62-acre site at South 17th Street and Shipyard Boulevard in Wilmington. The system is targeting a 2030 opening date for a facility. Atrium, part of Advocate Health, said it wants to develop a hospital that brings additional cancer, cardiovascular, and neuroscience programs to the region. Atrium's proposal comes as the Charlotte-based system also pursues expansion in the Triangle through a combination with Wake Med. Meanwhile, Novant, headquartered in Winston-Salem earlier this year, outlined its plans to invest more than $1 billion in expansion projects at Novant Health New Hanover Regional Medical Center and elsewhere in the fast-growing coastal region. UNC has a presence near the coast. The health system manages Onslow Memorial Hospital in Jacksonville through a 2018 agreement. UNC School of Medicine also has a branch campus in Wilmington, where third and fourth year students train and partner with Novant on clinical research. UNC and Novant also partner on pediatric specialty services in the region. The Chapel Hill-based system has signaled its intent to expand in the region after hiring Ernie Bovio as regional president of the Southeast Coastal Market. Merck buys Raleigh firm with Prime Space. A global pharmaceutical company is acquiring a Raleigh firm that develops automation systems for poultry production. Merck and Company's animal health business has reached a deal to acquire Targan, which develops technology systems used in animal protein production. The companies did not disclose a purchase price. The deal will expand Merck Animal Health's commercial poultry operations with Targan's wing scan system, an automated platform that identifies and sorts individual chicks by gender, processing up to 160,000 chicks per hour. The acquisition of Targan's best-in-class bio-device technology for use in commercial hatcheries complements and accelerates our growing biopharmaceutical presence in poultry and increases our ability to deliver significant customer value globally, Rick DeLuca, president of Merck Animal Health, said in a statement. Merck, one of the world's largest pharmaceutical companies, last year reported a total product sales of $65 billion, including $6.35 billion from animal health products. Targan founder and CEO Raman Karampur said the deal will help scale the company's technology. Targan operates out of a 100,000-square-foot life sciences facility on Six Forks Road near Wegmans and Costco. And finally, in healthcare and life sciences, FDA flagged safety violations at Revlon facility in Oxford. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has flagged manufacturing issues at a Revlon facility in Oxford, raising concerns at one of Granville County's largest employers. The FDA issued a warning letter citing manufacturing and quality control violations tied to its facility on Williamsboro Street. The letter issued June 2nd followed the agency's review of records submitted by Revlon and included concerns about contamination risks, quality oversight, and the release of products close to their expiration dates. Our quality standards are well established and remain strong, and we are confident in the products currently on the market, Revlon said in a statement. We expect to address the FDA's observations in the normal course and will continue to cooperate fully with the agency. Revlon owns 123 acres on Williamsboro Street, where it operates a campus with about 1 million square feet of manufacturing, office, and warehouse space, according to Granville County property records and company filings. Revlon describes the site, which employs more than 900 workers, as a critical manufacturing hub. Reporter Kaylee Thompson brings us news from the real estate and development sector. Industrial park to rise in Durham. Wolfspeed sold space it wasn't using to Heinz, which plans industrial park. An 800,000-square-foot industrial park is on its way in Durham, despite the local market having nearly 3 million square feet of industrial space under construction. But the developer says it expects demand for the new space will be high, given its location. Heinz of Houston is moving forward with Parkside Commerce Center, an industrial park positioned next to the Wolfspeed campus. The developer will start construction in late July with the goal to deliver the first two buildings in fourth quarter of 2027. The development is fully capitalized with Ares Real Estate as the equity partner and an undisclosed lender for a construction loan. Foundry Commercial is handling leasing. Parkside Commerce Center will have four buildings. The first two buildings will be 237,824 square feet and 283,724 square feet and have 36-foot clear heights. The second phase will have the other two buildings, which will be 172,289 square feet and 115,304 square feet. The second phase buildings will have 32-foot clear heights. The industrial park will add 809,141 square feet to the Triangle market. Currently, there are 48.3 million square feet of warehouse space per Triangle Business Journal space data. First quarter vacancy rate ballooned to 11.3%, up from 7.3% in quarter four of 2025. Despite the higher vacancy rate, Heinz isn't concerned about leasing up the industrial park, according to Managing Director Paul Zarian. The amount of space under construction tends to be concentrated on the periphery of the market, in a location like this where a lot of our customers are very focused on last-mile distribution. This submarket is viewed differently, and the statistics substantiate that, Zarian said. He said Wolfspeed wasn't using the property or the buildings, which is why the semiconductor company sold it. On the Neuse River, Mungo plans project with 1,800 homes in East Raleigh. A national home builder is targeting East Raleigh for its next residential community with 1,800 homes planned. Mungo Homes, part of Berkshire Hathaway's Clayton Properties Group, has started site work on Banks 20, a master planned community along Hodge Road, slightly south of Interstate 87. Banks 20 will have single-family homes and townhomes and direct access to the Neuse River. The homes will start in the 300,000s. Access to the Neuse River and the ability to build a greenway along the river are what attracted the home builder back in 2019, according to Vicki Hartshorn, director of land planning for Mungo. It spent $1.28 million total on the property per land records. We saw the scale of what was happening at Wendell Falls, all the retail and everything that was coming in addition to that huge community, Hartshorn said. Then as we started seeing what was unfolding with the transformation of Knightdale Station, not just the neighborhood over there, but specifically the park and the YMCA and all of the great restaurants that were coming over there. So again, it didn't start as big as it is for us, but as the area started growing, that's where we really started pursuing some of those outlier parcels to keep growing the neighborhood. The site is 525 acres. In the RTP area, apartment project sold to Houston firm. A multifamily developer based in Houston is now leading a project just outside Research Triangle Park after a $13 million land sale. Dallas's High Street Residential, a subsidiary of Trammell Crow Company, sold nearly 18 acres to Camden Property Trust for $13 million per Durham County deed records. The sale marks the handoff of a 400-unit multifamily project along Hobson Road between Highways 55 and 885. In May, High Street and Camden put out a press release about the project, calling it a strategic collaboration between the two Texas companies. Josh Dix, principal at Trammell Crow, said in an email that High Street has spent the past few years getting the site entitled, designed, and permitted. He added that Camden will start construction this summer. And finally, in this section, Blue Ridge property charted for more density. The explosive growth of Raleigh's Blue Ridge corridor has spurred the potential for more housing development to meet growing demand. A rezoning application was filed with the city for a 7-acre parcel at the corner of Blue Ridge and Hardin Roads, south of UNC Rex Hospital. The owners are seeking office mixed use up to 7 stories. The property is zoned residential 4, which allows up to 4 units per acre. One condition with the proposed zoning is that the property would be limited to multifamily development and not have more than 420 units, which would mean 60 units per acre. The application says the rezoning is meant to address the housing shortage in the area. The application cites an increase in commercial development, particularly the planned development around the Lenovo Center, as reasons why the area needs more housing. No developers listed. The rezoning is for 3725 Hardin Road, where 3 homes now sit. Business news from the Greater Triangle area is brought to us by reporter Ben Tobin. In Johnston County, Target buys site for Clayton store. A retail giant has bought up land in Clayton, and a new store may be coming soon. Target purchased just shy of 11.5 acres off Clayton Boulevard for $3.3 million on June 11th, according to Johnston County deed records. The land is part of a major assemblage by Ohio-based Casto, which is planning a $100 million shopping center that could attract several major tenants. Anoma Owens, a Target spokeswoman, declined to provide a timeline for when the Clayton store will open. We're continuously exploring possible locations for future stores, but we have no new store news to share, Owens said in an email. As we get closer to opening the store, we'll have more specific details to share, including how the shopping experience will be tailored to serve local guests and the grand opening date. Casto closed on the land for the shopping center recently for more than $23 million, according to Johnston County deed records. The company is active around the Triangle region, currently working on a $64 million project to bring Sanford its first Target through revitalizing the blighted River Birch Shopping Center. Casto closed on approximately 90 acres in Clayton for our West Edge development, and Target closed on 11 acres, said Shannon Dixon, Executive Vice President of Development and Leasing at Casto. We don't have other tenants or a timeline to announce just yet, but we'll share more as we're able. Johnston County, with a 2.8% growth rate from 2024 to 2025, was the fastest-growing Triangle Area county and the third fastest-growing in the state. The county added roughly 7,000 residents in 2025, putting its population above 256,000. Target, a retailer that business leaders say can attract a plethora of ancillary developments, has evaded Johnston County until now. Last month, the Minneapolis-based retail giant opened the doors to a 129,000-square-foot store at 551 St. Mark Avenue in Selma. The store is part of Eastfield Crossing, a 3-million-square-foot mixed-use development off Interstate 95 at exits 97 and 98. In Pitt County, medical office building fetches $1.2 million. Another Eastern North Carolina medical office building has sold for more than $1 million, as that real estate sector remains hot. Genius Arlington, a New York-based LLC, purchased the 18,200-square-foot property at 2140 West Arlington Boulevard in Greenville for over $1.27 million in May, according to Pitt County deed records. The property was built in 2003. Tenants include Eastern Carolina Foot and Ankle and the Dental Care Center. Nicholas Kambogiannis is listed as the representative of Genius Arlington LLC, according to NC Secretary of State filings. He did not respond to a request seeking comment about the purchase. The seller is Eastern Carolina Foot and Ankle, LLC. While Pitt County is often associated with East Carolina University, the county's largest employment engine is actually healthcare. The healthcare and social assistance sector employs more than 20,000 people, nearly twice the size of the county's next largest industry. It's the strength of this healthcare sector that helps fuel demand for medical office buildings, outpatient clinics, and specialized treatment facilities. Pitt County's growing population also plays a factor. In 2025, the population was just shy of 183,000. According to the most recent census estimates, that's up 4.25% since 2021. In Wayne County, California Titan snags another Wawa in eastern North Carolina. That's a fun sentence to say. Another new Wawa store in an eastern North Carolina city has sold for millions to a publicly traded real estate behemoth based in California. MDCNC1, a limited partnership that lists the address of San Diego real estate company Realty Income on deed records, purchased the Wawa property at 2853 U.S. Highway 70 West in Goldsboro last month for a little more than $5.5 million, according to Wayne County deed records. The gas station and convenience store, which sits on 2.4 acres, opened in May 2025 as part of Wawa's expansion into eastern North Carolina. Wayne County deed records show the seller as Capital Growth Buckalter of Birmingham, Alabama, which has developed numerous Wawa locations in the Triangle region. The group purchased the land in September 2022 for $2.2 million. Realty Income, which specializes in investing in triple net lease commercial real estate tenants, has been scooping up properties throughout North Carolina. Wawa, headquartered in Pennsylvania, has been expanding fast in North Carolina with the goal of opening up to 90 locations in the state in the years ahead. News from the retail and restaurants world is brought to us by Kate Tracy. Downtown public space sold again. Kane Realty bought back a downtown Raleigh grocery store that the real estate developer sold just last year, according to Wake County deed records. The space that holds the public store along Peace Street sold for $18.85 million. Peace Street NC Owner LLC, which Wake County deed records show is tied to Kane Realty Corp., purchased the public's property located at 417 West Peace Street in the Smoky Hollow development on June 4th. The registered agent for Peace Street NC Owner is Kane Realty Chairman John Kane, according to North Carolina Secretary of State filings. At 45,600 square feet, the sale comes out to $413 per square foot. The store is connected to the 12-story Cortland Glenwood South Apartments. LVA4 Raleigh P&W LLC is the seller. The LLC is registered to Los Angeles-based real estate firm PCCP. In 2025, Kane Realty sold the Publix and Cortland Glenwood South Building, formerly Peace Raleigh Apartments, for $152 million to Atlanta-based Cortland, New York-based Pamera and Wiesman Family LP. Berkeley Capital Advisors brokered the recent sale. The public space was listed last year for $20.33 million. The Publix and the apartments opened in 2020 as part of Kane Realty's Smoky Hollow development in partnership with Lionstone Investments of Houston, which shut down toward the end of 2024 and offloaded billions in assets. The store sales were nearly $34 million in 2024, according to the LoopNet listing. Publix is one of the few grocery store options in downtown Raleigh, in addition to Weaver Street Market. One newcomer will be Wolfside Urban Market, which is going to be at the former Dollar General DGX space at 149 East Davie Street. Florida-based Publix has made gains among the Triangle's competitive supermarket sector and ranked fourth in the market in sales in 2025, according to Chain Store Guide. Pet Store files for bankruptcy. A pet store franchisee in Morrisville has filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy and lists 15 puppies worth $12,000 among its assets. Green Eagle Capital Raleigh LLC has entered liquidation with $4.31 million in assets and $2.57 million in liabilities. The bankruptcy filing lists Petland Raleigh as the principal place of business, located at 4031 Davis Drive in Morrisville's McCrimmon Corners Shopping Center. Among the assets listed in the bankruptcy filing are 15 puppies worth $12,000, in addition to $20,922 in pet supplies and products, and $5,599 in perishable feed. The business also lists kennels, display cases, and shelving worth $130,000. Petland Raleigh closed this month. The supplies are now at the Somerville Petland in South Carolina and include two fluffy French bulldogs, a beagle, and a mini Australian shepherd, according to an employee at the Somerville store, which has 43 breeds in all. David G. DeShaw signed the bankruptcy filing. DeShaw is chairman of Green Eagle Capital, located in Pawleys Island, South Carolina. He and his team opened Petland Raleigh in 2022, according to a LinkedIn post. The filing details a steep decline in revenue for Petland Raleigh from $5.1 million in 2024 to $2.33 million in 2025. This year, the business has made $863,352 in revenue, according to the filing. Triangle Wine closes in Holly Springs and Cary. After 11 years, Triangle Wine Company has closed its doors in Cary and Holly Springs. The business cited a Bob Dylan song lyric in its goodbye post on social media, saying, "The times they are changing, and with the ever-shifting realities of the current political and economic environment, we came to the difficult decision that we simply could not remain in business any longer." The Cary shop was located in Waverly Place at 575 New Waverly Place, and the Holly Springs shop was at 4202 Lassiter Road. The shops had bars serving beer and wine in addition to go items. In addition to go items. The post added, "We will miss every one of you, especially the four-legged friends who helped us make new customers feel right at home." And finally, in retail and restaurants, Wakefield Commons trades for $33 million. A Raleigh shopping center near Wake Forest is sold to an out-of-state buyer for $33 million. Greenberg Gibbons, a real estate developer based in Baltimore, purchased the 163,975-square-foot Wakefield Commons retail center at the corner of Falls of Neuse Road and Capitol Boulevard, which is U.S. 1. Greenberg Gibbons purchased Wakefield Commons in a joint venture with Boston-based Wilder, marking both firms' first retail acquisition in North Carolina. "We knew that location of Falls of Neuse and Route 1 had a ton of opportunity and potential as growth continues to come to Wake County," Greenberg Gibbons president Eric Walter said. The center is 96.3% leased to tenants that include Starbucks, Marquee Cinemas, and Burn Boot Camp. The seller was Mishoram Gold NCLP. Greenberg Gibbons manages 7 million square feet of space up and down the East Coast. Our cover story this week concerns Wake Med. Rescue mission? Fiercely independent since its founding, Wake Med now says it needs to merge, but some public officials aren't convinced. Zach Ezone is the writer of the cover story this week. Wake Med traces its roots to 1961, when Wake County opened Memorial Hospital as a publicly funded facility. The system became a private nonprofit in 1997, but remains deeply tied to the county through its governance structure and commitment to care, regardless of ability to pay. This mission drew Donald Gensig to Wake Med in 2013. Gensig is a retired Navy admiral who rose to acting deputy surgeon general and spent 30 years in military service and civilian hospital leadership. At his Navy retirement, Gensig told people he wanted to lead a mission-driven health system. Someone in his retirement line mentioned Wake Med. About a month later, he had the job. More than a decade later, that mission is under pressure, and Gensig is pushing a dramatic change for Wake Med. "If you plan to win today's or yesterday's wars, you miss out," Gensig said last August. "Plan for what the next war will look like." Since its founding, Wake Med has grown into a system that includes three acute care hospitals, with a fourth in development, along with a network of outpatient clinics and physician practices, generating about $2.6 billion in annual revenue as of September 30th of last year. The health system operates Wake County's only trauma centers, a Level 1 center in Raleigh and a Level 3 center in Cary, and one of the busiest emergency departments in the country. Wake Med also runs the county's only dedicated pediatric emergency department at its main Raleigh campus, which treats about 45,000 children a year. But Wake Med is experiencing the same challenges as other independent hospital systems across the country that are weighing partnerships or consolidation as care grows more expensive and complex. For Wake Med, larger competitors, Duke Health and UNC Health, are expanding. These challenges led Wake Med, one of the few independents left in the state, to reach a deal to become part of Atrium Health based in Charlotte. Dynamics around competition, independence, and scale are at the center of Wake Med's case for the deal. The amount that Wake Med is reimbursed by the federal programs like Medicaid and commercial insurance has not kept pace with the health system's rising costs. Wake Med is paid between 10% and 30% less than other healthcare providers in the region, Gensig said during a Wake County Board of Commissioners meeting on June 8th. We're trying to figure out how to get paid fairly along those lines, Gensig said. We're considerably less because we're a little Wake Med than what others are paid for by payers. The Atrium deal would add a hefty partner, but the proposal has drawn pushback from local and state officials who, citing the effects of prior hospital consolidation in North Carolina, warn it could drive up health care costs and weaken local control over vital services in Wake County. Gensig sees it differently. He frames the merger as a way to preserve Wake Med's independence on its own terms rather than risk a less favorable outcome later. Right now, it's our choice to do this, but looking forward, we're trying to avoid a situation arising where we lose that choice, Gensig said during a community meeting on May 20th. Wake Med and Atrium announced the proposal deal on May 1st, just 3 days before the Wake County Board of Commissioners was set to vote on key legal steps to advance the proposal. The commissioners delayed that vote for at least 90 days following concerns from local and state officials. We've seen this in Buncombe County. We've seen this in New Hanover County. You see this throughout the country, said State Treasurer Brad Briner, whose office oversees the state health plan. It's been a trend. Prices go up, sometimes quality goes down, and patients are no better off. Following HCA Healthcare's $1.5 billion acquisition of nonprofit Mission Health in Asheville, the for-profit company increased profits in part through significant cost cuts, including staffing reductions that raised concerns about patient care and access, according to a study published last year by Mark Hall, a law professor at Wake Forest University focused on healthcare and public policy. Mission Health was financially sound before the 2019 sale, but its leaders argued that joining a larger system while it was strong gave it more leverage than waiting until it was possibly weakened in the future. The deal also followed a major contract dispute with Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. Hospitals that want to convince the public that this is a good idea, they tend to say similar kinds of things, Hall said. The question is, how strong are those reasons? The Mission deal involved a for-profit buyer, making it distinct from the proposed Wake Med Atrium combination, which involves two nonprofit health systems. But even nonprofit hospital deals raise broader questions about whether they serve the public interest. And Wilmington Novant Health's 2021 acquisition of New Hanover Regional Medical Center for about $2 billion shifted control of a county-owned hospital to a large nonprofit system. We went from the entire county's focus being on our hospital to just becoming part of a much larger network of hospitals, said New Hanover County Commissioner Rob Zappel. 5 years later, Novant has invested in new facilities and improved transparency, Zappel said, though issues tied to the hospital's emergency room remain unresolved. He noted the system also took over just before the pandemic, complicating the transition. Hospitals are a tough business, Zappel said. There are lots of bad things that happen in hospitals, not all caused by the company. For patients, healthcare mergers can involve trade-offs, said Zachary Levinson, project director of the KFF Project on Hospital Costs. Mergers can help hospitals operate more efficiently and bring resources to systems that need them, but a substantial body of evidence shows mergers can also lead to higher costs, Levinson said. It may help some struggling hospitals to keep their doors open, but on the other hand, mergers often reduce competition that could allow hospitals to charge more for care, Levinson said. Blue Cross North Carolina, the state's largest health insurer, has seen costs grow faster than the state average in areas where consolidation has occurred, said Chief Financial Officer Mitch Perry. Blue Cross NC estimates that the deal could cause costs in Wake County region to rise by as much as 2%, which Perry describes as a conservative estimate. We're eager to understand how this one could buck those trends that we've seen historically and actually lower costs for our members and others across the greater Wake County region, Perry said. The deal's impact could extend to independent providers across the region. Dr. Andy Babcock is one of three physicians at Raleigh Family Practice and serves on the board of Key Independent Physicians Association, a network of independent practices across Wake County that collaborate on contracting and care coordination. In 2013, Key and Wake Med formed Wake Med Key Community Care, an accountable care organization that allows providers to coordinate care and share in savings when patients are kept healthy. These sorts of shared savings models can help independent practices remain financially viable while operating outside large health systems. What the proposed Wake Med Atrium deal could mean for that arrangement remains unclear, though Atrium also participates in accountable care organizations. Babcock said independent primary care practices continue to play an important role in maintaining competition in the healthcare market. It's just better for the market when there's choice, when there's good, healthy competition, Babcock said, of a triangle market dominated by UNC Health and Duke Health. And that includes the light blue guys and the dark blue guys, but also the independent guys. Wake Med leaders have acknowledged the hospital system will lose full independence, but they have argued the benefits of the deal outweigh the costs. Combining with Atrium will improve Wake Med's position when negotiating contracts with insurers. The deal would also expand the financial assistance available for Wake Med to keep more patients healthy. Gensig has argued that that is the most effective way to ultimately reduce healthcare costs. It's not on the rates, Gensig said. What's going to lower healthcare costs is keeping people healthy. Wake Med would also have access to additional capital to invest locally. Under the agreement, Atrium has committed $2 billion over about a decade for the region, a level of capital that Gensig has said Wake Med would struggle to secure on its own. If we fail to do this, we may not have that choice, in fact, for 10 years, Gensig said. And then you lose that opportunity to maintain what you are and keep what you need going forward. Despite its growth over the years, Wake Med's role as safety net provider has become more challenging in a complex healthcare environment, said Dr. Thad McDonald, chair of Wake Med's board of directors. That's why 2 years ago, when the possibility of a combination was first mentioned to the executive committee of our board, we decided it would be irresponsible not to evaluate the possibility, McDonald said on May 5th. Atrium is part of one of the nation's largest nonprofit health systems, Advocate Health, a $39 billion health system, which formed in 2022 through the merger of Atrium and Advocate Aurora Health. Atrium operates major hospitals in some of North Carolina's largest markets, including Charlotte and Winston-Salem. Atrium has also hospitals in Georgia and Alabama, while Advocate maintains a broader footprint in Illinois and Wisconsin. As part of the Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center and Wake Forest School of Medicine joining health system, Atrium committed to invest $3.4 billion in local facilities. Advocate Health Executive Vice President Steve Smoot said the system is on track to meet that commitment, citing projects such as a new hospital tower in Winston-Salem and a Wake Forest Medical School campus in Charlotte. The North Carolina Local Government Commission in April approved the North Carolina Medical Care Commission's issuance of up to $619.18 million in tax-exempt revenue bonds on behalf of Advocate Health to reimburse Wake Forest Baptist Health for construction of the new tower. We've been doing all of that while Wake Forest, their bond rating has gone up 6 times since they've been with us, and that's not the trajectory they were on, Smoot said. When evaluating its options for a potential partner, Wake Med was determined to avoid the outcomes of the Mission Health and New Hanover deals, McDonald said during the June 8th county meeting. I didn't want to make a decision that led to what happened to Mission Hospital, and I think the same thing's happening in Wilmington, McDonald said. When you think about it, and you look at what is available, Atrium and Advocate were absolutely the best choice. Wake Med would convert from a no-member to a single-member nonprofit structure with Atrium as the sole member. Wake Med's board would remain at 14 voting directors, with Wake County continuing to appoint 8 members and Atrium appointing 6. Those county-appointed members would be selected from a pool of candidates nominated by the board and approved by at least 2/3 of voting directors. Atrium's appointees would not be subject to that same approval process. This governance structure is designed to support faster decision-making for the local health system, said Advocate Health CEO Eugene Woods during the June 8th meeting. If it's a sale, there's no community local voice, and that's obviously what we're not doing, Woods said. But this is a pretty unique construction where we blend the local folks that live in the community with Atrium there as well. Nonetheless, letting go of full independence has been the hardest part of this process, Wake Med board member Mary Nash Rusher said during the meeting. We had to get past that, and the most important thing was to remain independent, Rusher said. Our duty is not to be independent. The board's duty is to figure out how we, this wonderful institution that we are so passionately committed to, can continue into the future. Changes to Wake Med's articles of incorporation that are required for the deal to move forward would need approval from the Wake County Board of Commissioners. The county would also need to sign off on revisions to a separate agreement governing hospital assets transferred when the hospital, when the system became an independent nonprofit. The county would retain rights to reclaim certain properties if Wake Med does not continue meeting requirements as a community hospital. The debate over control drew a competing approval proposal from UNC Health. On May 5th, UNC Health sent a letter to Wake Med offering a competing proposal, including a $5 billion capital commitment. The letter argued that the proposed structure of the Atrium deal would shift Wake Med's governing authority to Atrium as sole corporate member, placing Wake Med governance and major decisions within Atrium's multi-state government structure. UNC framed its bid as one that would allow Wake Med to remain the anchor health system in Wake County while expanding within a broader statewide network of a $7 billion health system. The proposal called for aligning UNC's operations in Wake and Johnston counties under Wake Med's leadership. Wake Med, in a May 11th letter signed by McDonald, said it planned to continue pursuing its combination with Atrium. Although you note that a partnership with UNC Health as a state agency and political subdivision could reduce certain transaction friction, we remain sensitive to broader concerns about further consolidation and its potential impact on healthcare choice in Wake County, McDonald said. During the pandemic, Wake Med began building a medical oncology program to serve patients. As part of that effort, Wake Med applied for a certificate of need, a state license required for certain medical facilities and equipment to operate a linear accelerator. It also issued a request for proposals in 2022, seeking a partner to support the expansion, but received only one response, Atrium Health, Kinzig said. From there, conversations expanded beyond cancer care to heart care and other areas. Then the discussion was, you sound a lot like us, we sound a lot like you. What would something bigger look like, Ginsick said. Wake Med had tried to expand through more limited means before. In 2017, the system entered joint operating agreements with Duke Health to expand cancer and cardiovascular care to Wake County. The arrangements were designed to coordinate services while allowing both organizations to remain independent, according to a 2019 Wake Med bond filing. These efforts, however, ended a few years later. Both Wake Med and Duke were ultimately issued CONs for new linear accelerators in February after resolving a legal dispute related to the 2023 application cycle. Duke's approval is tied to new medical facilities it's building on Timber Drive in Garner, down the street from where Wake Med is developing a new hospital campus. Health systems are increasingly exploring partnerships and acquisitions as financial pressures have mounted over the past two decades, said Mark Pascaris, Senior Director and Not-for-Profit Healthcare Analytical Lead at Fitch Ratings. We're in a period where we're going to see in healthcare across the country more conversations around partnerships and combinations and M&A activity, Pascaris said. Even rivals Duke and UNC are merging their pediatrics departments to form North Carolina Children's, a children's medical campus in Apex. From the 2008 financial crisis through the pandemic and the labor shortages that followed, health systems have faced sustained pressure on their finances. Pescara said, hospitals are also preparing for potential future declines in Medicaid enrollment tied to federal policy changes, cuts that could hit safety net providers like WakeMed particularly hard. The question is, we look good today, but maybe the best time to partner is when you're in a position of strength, Pescara said. Maybe this is the time because you can pick your suitor. After seeing its margins decline during the pandemic, leading to a $54.21 million operating loss in fiscal year 2023, WakeMed's finances have rebounded. The health system reported $113.57 million in operating income in fiscal year 2025, while key volume metrics like emergency visits and adjusted patient discharges all exceeded projections, according to WakeMed's latest annual financial report. Gensig said that WakeMed is entering its potential deal with Atrium from a position of strength that could be challenged by future headwinds. Probably the biggest headwind is how we're going to rebuild a 65-year-old centerpiece of care in its community, one of the busiest trauma centers in the country, our Raleigh campus, Gensig said. Treasurer Briner said his office, which also oversees tax-exempt bond issuance for nonprofit health systems in North Carolina, has not heard from WakeMed about other alternative financing options. On the one hand, they insist this is not a merger and Atrium will not control it, Briner said. On the other hand, they insist that only Atrium can be their partner, and those two things don't make sense together. On May 4th, the Wake County Commissioners delayed a vote on the proposal by at least 90 days and have not set a timeline for reconsideration. WakeMed and Atrium leaders returned to the board on June 8th to make their case for the merger, and WakeMed has held a series of community meetings to address concerns about the proposed deal. Any transaction could also face federal regulatory review. Depending on the federal review, the proposed combination could close by the end of 2026 at the earliest, said the board's rusher, a public finance attorney. Levinson, who is not familiar with the specifics of the WakeMed-Atrium deal, said cross-market merger deals between systems that do not significantly overlap are often less likely to face regulatory hurdles. So far, at least, federal antitrust agencies have rarely challenged these types of deals, Levinson said. Meanwhile, WakeMed's largest competitors, both around $7 billion in annual revenue, are continuing to expand across Wake County and the state. Duke aims to become a $20 billion health system, while UNC wants to build new hospitals in Asheville and Wilmington. Gensig believes WakeMed's combination with Atrium would increase healthcare competition while positioning WakeMed for the future. My big fear is that I retire and we have a wonderful little party and they give me a nice watch, and then in 5 or 10 years we're like every other safety net in every other community, Gensig said. Do I think WakeMed will survive in the future? Yes, Gensig said. But I can see a world in which they don't thrive, and that's really what this is about. This week's viewpoint is an opinion column from frequent contributor John Hood of the John Locke Foundation. Why business leaders in North Carolina should worry. North Carolina routinely makes national lists of the top states for business. The underlying data supports such accolades. According to the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis, North Carolina's private sector grew by an inflation-adjusted 3.1% last year, faster than anywhere else in the Southeast and all but five other states in the country. As with stock performance, past successes are no guarantee of future ones. North Carolina has bountiful natural and human resources, relatively light tax and regulatory burdens, better than average infrastructure, and other favorable conditions. Our competitors aren't standing pat, however. They'd love nothing better than to attract the households, business investors, and entrepreneurs now living in or headed toward North Carolina. I think we're up to the challenge. What worries me more than today's list of unmet needs and unfinished reforms, there's always going to be such a list, is what I perceive to be a growing undercurrent of suspicion, resentment, and outright hostility aimed at the business sector. Gallup surveys, for example, have long demonstrated a greater public skepticism of big business than of small business. But even as recently as 2019, most poll respondents said they had a positive view of big business. By 2025, only 37% rated it positively, positively, while 62% had a negative view. Within our own state, questions on specific issues reflect a sour public mood. A recent Elon University poll found that 44% of North Carolina adults would oppose the construction of a data center in their community, with only 24% supportive and the rest unsure. A public policy polling survey found majority support for raising North Carolina's tax rates on large corporations. Just to be clear, I don't think it's unreasonable to expect the owners or customers of new data centers to shoulder the cost of supplying electricity or water to their operations. Nor is all of the opprobrium aimed at big business unearned. Some companies have committed colossal errors, bent or broken the law, and abused relationships with collusive public officials to obtain subsidies, quash competitors, or gain other unfair advantages. What is deeply unhealthy, however, is the sweeping demonization of entire industries. AI, tech, private equity, pharmaceuticals, etc., based not on careful study or empirically sound models, but instead on unrepresentative anecdotes, ideological constructs, or vibes. Nor is it prudent to indulge the destructive but common human vices of despair or envy. One's lot in life is not primarily the result of impersonal forces over which one has no control, and one person's financial success neither proves nor requires that others be unsuccessful or treated unfairly. True economic progress requires more and bigger picks. It's all about baking, not slicing, and make that pies, not picks. Business leaders have a critical role to play in tamping down the populist resentment that could threaten North Carolina's continued growth. They can explicitly and repeatedly defend private enterprise and the principles of a free society. They can forgo attempts to secure targeted subsidies or special treatment from government. And they can model the very standards of honesty, openness, and stewardship that we should expect from all leaders, public or private. John Hood is a John Locke Foundation board member in Raleigh, and he can be reached at jhood@johnlocke, and that's locke.org. Big number this week, 322,000. That's the size in square feet of the Raleigh Convention Center expansion. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties. With its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. We've run out of time for today's episode of Triangle Business Journal. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Again, I'm Hugh Bennett, reading for North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.